broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
What I remember is Naomi Campbell.
The average death rate in the city during normal times is between 360.
So we didn't know that we needed a permit, but so that might be on our.
They're not
body.
Thinking about the students first, and that's the whole reason why we're here.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go through the looking glass and beyond to find said truth. And of course, our real purpose is to just have a couple of laughs, to try to get the film, to get the veneer, to get the oily sheen of the day off of us. All right, a JetBlue flight attendant goes ballistic. That's right. Plus, teachers in Milwaukee are fighting for Viagra coverage. Teachers in Milwaukee want insurance coverage for their Viagra. Dr. Ron Tartar and Art Griego join us this evening. 877-876-PHIL. Our affiliate spotlight this evening on Orlando's WEUS, 810 AM, and in the Tri-Cities, Washington area, KFLD, 870 AM. And happy to have those two great stations on the Phil Hendry Network. Our website is philhendryshow.com, where we have begun, as you know, our regular daily podcasts of this show you're listening to right now. We also have three times a week, or two times a week, depending, what we call our classic Phil podcast, which is a clip from our archives. This past week, we have featured Plane Go Boom. We have featured All You Can Eat Negro. And up on the site right now is probably the funniest of the three. Get in here and make me some bean dip with Vernon Dozier. It's fantastic. And then we have what we're trying to find a name for. These are the small kind of highlights of The Daily Show. And I don't know. I think we can call them, we'll figure it out. We can call them Daily Highlights of The Daily Show, maybe something like that. And it's a podcast. So head on over to iTunes or Bookmark or wherever the hell you get your stuff and go get it, baby. 877-876-PHIL. And in the news, we have quite a few things to cover. One of them, Keith Olbermann, dropped by Sunday Night Football on NBC. We have a JetBlue attendant that has gone ballistic on a flight to JFK. And this story, Stephen Hawking, the eminent scientist, has said, quote, abandon the Earth. Theoretical physicist Stephen Hawking has some advice for the people of Earth. It's time to get off, as in get off the Earth. He said, quote, I believe that the long-term future of the human race must be in space, Hawking said, to Think Big, a global forum that includes interviews with experts, was where he was and where he said what he said. Let's listen to a little bit of it. In an address to the Big Think Forum, Stephen Hawking says, to protect the future of our civilization, we should get the hell off of Dodge.
Our population and our use of the finite resources of planet Earth are growing exponentially, along with our technical ability to change the environment for good or ill. But our genetic code still carries the selfish and aggressive instincts that were of survival advantage in the past. It will be difficult enough to avoid disaster in the next 100 years, let alone the next 1,000 or 1,000,000. Our only chance of long-term survival is not to remain inward-looking on planet Earth, but to spread out into space.
All right, we have Dr. Ron Tarner joining us from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. And Dr. Tarner, always good to have you with us. Thanks for joining us.
Well, my pleasure to be on the program, Phil.
And what do you make of what you just heard Dr. Hawking say, and perhaps a few other scientists?
Well, Phil, I think, as I've mentioned on your program before, and maybe there are people listening this evening that don't quite recall me saying this. I think any time you talk about Stephen Hawking, Dr. Stephen Hawking, who is very well known, I think any time you mention him, you have to remember something. Our country is a great country because one of the reasons I think our country is a great country is because we treat everyone. We endeavor to treat everyone as a very special part of our world. We try to give dignity to everyone, and we try to install in everyone.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was asking about Dr. Hawking.
No. That's why I'm That's what I'm referring to.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Well, it's all right. But I think Dr. Hockey is a case in point of what I'm about to say, Phil, and I will address your larger point. We give dignity to everyone in our society. And in America, we give dignity to everyone in our society sometimes to a fault, because we want to make sure that person feels good about themselves, they feel valued, they feel that they are contributing. I think Dr. Stephen Hawking falls into that category. And why do I say that? Because I have, as a scientist over the years, looked at the same data that Stephen Hawking has looked at. I've written papers in the same categories that Stephen Hawking's written papers in. I've been published, but I haven't been published in the same journals. I haven't been asked my opinion on television shows, and I'm going to say something perhaps that some people may not find they may find this insensitive, Phil.
Dr. Tarner.
Hold on for just a minute. That I don't have the same attraction for women as Stephen Hawking had. Now, here's why I say what I say. Just because a man has unfortunately and tragically been struck down by Lou Gehrig's disease. And yes, when we see Stephen Hawking, we see a man who is a sad sight. One cannot even imagine living in a world that Stephen Hawking lives in. And yet, I don't see him suffering. I see him getting plenty of attention, quoted in all kinds of newspapers. It seems to me he has the interest of a new female almost monthly. And why is this? Because Stephen Hawking is in a motorized wheelchair.
I have to interrupt you because I want to ask a question.
Oh, go ahead.
Stephen Hawking, an eminent physicist, as we've said, a theoretical physicist, a man who is paid to theorize.
Well, you're not paid to just think up wild things, if you're paid at all. And Stephen Hawking is making a lot of money with his writing and his lecturing. You are.
But just to hear me out. Are you telling me that Stephen Hawking gets all of this attention because, well, you said it, because he's in a wheelchair?
I'm telling you that Stephen Hawking, were he not in a motorized, I didn't say a wheelchair, because I think that Hawking has upped the ante by having this wheelchair that he's in with all of the bells and whistles and the gizmos and the buttons and so forth. He ups the ante because we look at him almost as if we look at that character from Star Trek, that one captain who came back and he only had his head sitting on a unit. I don't know if you remember the
I think it was with Jeffrey Chandler, the actor.
I forget
the actor, but he was a Star Trek captain who wanted to go back to a planet where he could imagine himself.
Where he could restore himself, in his imagination. Stephen Hawking, were he not in this wheelchair with all of its bells and whistles, would be no better known and no better appreciated than Bill Nye the Science Guy or Mr. Wizard.
You can't really mean that, can you?
Listen to what you can't really mean that. We are far too forgiving in our society, Phil, of people who move about our society on something other than their own legs. And the reason why we do that is because, yes, we want to give them dignity.
We want to give everybody dignity. I don't mean to interrupt you. And our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Talking here with Dr. Ron Tarner.
Let me conclude with this thought.
No, just one thing. We want to give everybody dignity. But are you saying that we will believe something that someone is saying, that we will give import to something that somebody is saying, we will make something extra special, important, and we will pay attention to it, and we will say, oh, wow, that's really heavy that we have to get off the planet Earth because we don't want the guy to feel bad?
Well, in a matter of speech, I don't know what you mean by make the guy feel bad. I think it.
But in other words, we don't want Stephen Hawking to feel like no one cares about him, so we listen to him.
minutes in a matter of speaking.
We listen to Stephen Hawking because he's in a wheelchair.
In a matter of speaking, yes. No, I know scientists, I know researchers, I know college professors, I know some of the most eminent people in our country in education and the sciences who have published and have published, I think, very remarkable work. And I don't hear their names. I don't hear my name, and I'm not saying that I am the end-all, be-all myself, but I think of myself as Stephen Hawking, as a colleague.
Do you think that you are as intelligent?
Well, I don't look at it that way. I think that I am every bit as I'm every bit as adventurous and curious as Stephen Hawking. Why do we pay attention to Hawking? Why do we pay attention to a lot of these people? And if you give me, I know you have a commercial coming up.
Yes, we do.
You give me a commercial break, I'll think of other people who are who don't use their own legs, in a matter of speaking, and we think they're really special, and we don't realize what we're doing.
So we're giving overinflated value to people in wheelchairs.
That, in my opinion, most especially Stephen Hawking, who has women, he's got money. I've heard him tell some Polish jokes. Seriously.
This is what you were telling me. You feel he's racist?
I think he has a great deal of bigotry in him, yes.
All right, we're going to talk here with Ron Tarner about Stephen Hawking and other people who are disabled. Do we give them more credit than they are due? You said you were going to do what, Dr. Tarner?
Well, I want to think of a few people here off the air I don't mean to single out Dr. Hawking, but there are others who you and I have seen them in their, on their crutches and in their wheelchairs and laying on, being rolled around on a cot or on an iron, on a gurney, and, oh, let's go talk to so-and-so because he's so smart, because he's on an aluminum crutch. And I personally don't...
Well, you're starting to sound a little bitter.
No, I don't mean that. No, it's got nothing to do with bitterness. It's got nothing to do with bitterness. No, I am a seeker of truth.
Well, you're saying, because the guy's hobbling around on a crutch or a motorized wheelchair, and you also said that Hawking upped the ante by getting all the bells and whistles on his wheelchair. So it sounds to me what you're saying is these guys are playing us.
I think they're playing us.
And you don't feel you're bitter.
Why would I be bitter?
Well, you mentioned that you've published some things.
I feel I've been badly treated, yes, because Hawking went out and upgraded his wheelchair. Yes.
All right, 877, hold on for a minute. Dr. Ron Tarner with us, 877-876-PHIL. And we're starting the week out here talking about, talking about science and talking about one of the most eminent men in the world of science, Stephen Hawking. I'm sure you've seen Mr. Hawking or Professor Hawking. He's been afflicted with Lou Gehrig's disease, so he has the very limited, if any, use at all of his locomotion. He's in a wheelchair. He speaks through that device that you heard. But he still is an active man. He still is a man who thinks and writes and, as you heard there, lectures. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Ron Tarner joining us. And do we give more credibility? Do we pay attention more? Do we lend our ear more to people simply because they're disabled? That's what Ron Tarner is saying here. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome to our program this evening, folks. Here from the El Pacifico, we have Dr. Ron Tarner with us. He's at Covendale, Colorado, where the Mountain Meadow Observatory is. And we're happy to have you with us, Dr. Tarner. We're talking here about Stephen Hawking and a larger issue you were pointing to, which is that people who are disabled in certain areas are given more credence, they're given more believability if I'm saying it.
Well, Phil, what I'm essentially saying is the following thing. It's easier to, and this is, this. I want people to hear this because I don't want people to feel that I appreciate science and people who are important to the sciences, and I don't want people to think that I don't appreciate Stephen Hawking as far as it goes. I know a little bit more about Dr. Hawking than most people. Hawking gets a lot of pity from people because he rolls around in that mechanical chair. Now, I know he upgraded it, and the reason why is the more bells and whistles and switches and lights, the more crippled you think he is.
And or disabled.
Disabled, forgive me. Max Cleland,
Hold on. Max Cleland is a veteran. He was wounded, and he had terribly so in Vietnam, and overcame those wounds.
Right, okay, well, okay, fine. Do you think that Max Cleland is worthy to be a representative of the...
I think Max Cleland is worthy as a man that gave so much for his country, as a man who gave to you and to me. I don't think Max Cleland... I would rather... I don't know what it is you're trying to say.
Well, I didn't know I was going to be censored.
What do you want to say about Max Cleland?
I think Max Cleland, I agree with you. Max Cleland gave the ultimate for his country and lost his limbs. And how does that make him a Phi Beta Kappa when it comes to going to Washington and sitting down and figuring out what a bill,
How does that? Anyone is qualified to be a representative of the American people if they are if they meet the age requirement and if they get enough votes. It's as simple as that. That's the beauty. Nobody is asking for a job resume when you become a senator.
Well, maybe we should start, Phil, given the president that we have.
No, maybe we shouldn't start. Maybe the American people should just accept the results of elections and say, well, this is where it's at. This is the way it's going to go. I'll do what I can do. Maybe the American people ought to just recognize that instead of all this baloney.
Well, that shows, I think, you're on the opposite side of the argument. Look at Larry Flint. Larry Flint has gone from being a little man with dirty magazines, and now that he's in a wheelchair, suddenly he's standing in front of the Supreme Court? I can't believe it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here, talking this evening to Dr. Ron Turner about Stephen Hawking and others who are disabled. Are they suddenly, in our eyes, smarter, more proficient than we would ordinarily see them? Here is Lisa in Toronto tonight, listening on CFRB. Hi, Lisa, how you doing? It's Phil Hendry.
Hi there. I'm fine, thank you. I don't understand,
ma'am,
if Dr. Turner is saying that he's not bitter, how Stephen Hawking's love life plays into this argument. I thought it was a scientific argument. He mentioned earlier that he's getting a new girl every month. I'm uncertain as to what that has to do with anything.
Well, I'm sure that you recognize that Stephen Hawking, it has nothing to do with me being bitter, although I am a man. I don't understand how it is that Hawking, in a wheelchair, who he's drinking his dinner... How does, maybe you could answer this, you're a woman, how does he get women, I've been living alone for over a year now.
But I'm not even certain that's referred to this conversation. Weren't we talking about whether or not his science was real?
Exactly. No, we're also talking about how celebrity warps our understanding of what intelligence and proficiency is.
All right,
your argument. I mean,
yeah, Lisa, I wanted to...
less known journals and you know, less women, and, you know, he's got a fancy wheelchair.
He does. Excuse me? I think I know what it is I'm saying.
And if he has I want to hear it. I'd love to learn about it, if his science is weak.
Okay, let's talk about his science. We have to leave the planet Earth. All of a sudden, Stephen Hawking decides that we need to leave the planet Earth. Now, you know that man has been on this planet as a upright walking hominid for 2 million years, and we know that our most ancient ancestors are somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 billion years old. Stephen Hawking, because there's a whole lot of lights and sounds coming off of a wheelchair he bought, now says we have to leave the Earth. Why?
Well, and I'm grateful to learn that. I don't pretend to understand much of this, but I'm just thinking that you're really drawing away from your argument by talking about his personal attributes. That's all.
It's a very good point, Lisa. Thank you. Thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. We're with Dr. Ron Tarner. Is Stephen Hawking given more believability because he's in a wheelchair? We'll be back in the Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL.
What was that girl's? What was her number?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk here with Dr. Ron Tarner from the Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado, and we're talking about Stephen Hawking's most recent statements made to a conference called The Big Think, a global forum that was interviewing experts, and Dr. Hawking was one of them. Now, here is his comment, Dr. Tarner, and I'd like you to tell me what you think. You're saying basically that guys like Hawking.
It isn't just Hawking, Phil. I hasten to tell you that we seem to give a mantle, we give a patina of authority to anyone. Let's talk, and I don't know if I'm doing the right thing, but I have to say that if you look at Helen Keller, yes, born into such unfortunate circumstance where she did not have the ability to speak. She had no sight, she had no hearing, and yet everyone thought she was wonderful.
But Helen Keller overcame all of that and became a writer and a thinker, and her books were published.
Well, I don't know if she was such a great writer so much as we wanted her to be a great writer. I don't know. When you say she was a speaker...
She had someone interpreting for her.
Well, I don't know what it sounded like. I didn't hear Helen Keller, and I don't. There's been a lot of Helen Keller jokes, and you'd be interested to know that one of the prime people that makes Helen Keller jokes is Stephen Hawking, which I find to be cruel.
Stephen Hawking makes Helen Keller jokes.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Now,
let me just read this to you, then we'll take a phone call. Hawking said. He said he has concerns about how humans are eating up finite resources, and his claimed man's genetic code carries selfish and aggressive instincts that have helped humanity survive in the past.
Oh, that is such! It is utter claptrap that he loves to parade for the young female co-eds that come to see him lecture. It is such. Pure pap. He knows it. His agent knows it. His publishers know it. Aggressive behavior. You know, we know there's gas house greening gas. We know all of that. I don't need a man that just got his chair back, from Radio Shack. Telling me these things.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me get to a another phone call here. We have John in Greensboro, North Carolina. John, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
How you doing, Phil? I'd just like to say that
Dr.
Tarner, you're obviously an absolute moron. I mean, to say that the only reason Stephen Hawking is famous is because he's in a wheelchair. I mean, he's made so much science massively acceptable. Except, to the masses. He's realized, how black holes irradiate energy and can disappear. And the Star Trek character, his name is Christopher Pike. If you're going to be a nerd, do it decently. But, the caller earlier thought that you got off topic by mentioning the fact that, he was getting more women than you. I think was really kind of missed the point, because the real point is, I think, obviously, the only thing that you have to be upset about, that was the red herring there, that you're not getting any and you're sexually frustrated.
No, sir, that is not right, though, sir. That is, no, sir.
No,
sir.
I mean, like...
ask you something. Since when is Stephen Hawking's love life a point of interest in the magazine? And yet I read about it all the time. I read about it in newspapers. I didn't bring it up. The mass media brought it up.
clearly it's an oddity, but you think that's why he's famous? You think he's getting the women so they can be? Think not. I mean, that's just an absurd statement to say that that's why he's famous.
I don't understand
clearly,
what you're saying.
Clearly he's done amazing things. And, you know, I mean, it's pretty obvious anyone
I'm not saying that he didn't do amazing things.
Keep living. We do have to leave this planet. Whether or not we're going to do that is a whole
thing. Sir, I don't deny that we have to leave the planet, but where are we doing? Are you saying to me that Stephen Hawking said something original when he said we have to leave the planet?
What I'm saying is, you said he was famous not because he was a genius. You said you wrote on the same topics, and you're not famous, and you're not getting the women.
Absolutely.
He's a genius, and you're an idiot. What are you a doctor in? Are you like physical education doctor? Or are you a gym doctor?
I'm an astrophysicist, sir.
I'm going to go in a second. I could talk about black people. And, you know, it doesn't make me.
What are you talking about? No, I am talking about Stephen Hawking.
Okay.
Stephen Hawking hasn't said anything original, and you just admitted that Stephen Hawking saying that we have to leave the planet is not original, it's not particularly enlightening. I don't understand why we devote 3, 4, 5 pages of news copy to a man who, yes, went out and upgraded his wheelchair so that the more lights and the more noises coming from it, the more brilliant we think he is.
We're still interested in what Einstein said about, you know, interpersonal relations and things like that. We'd like to listen to geniuses talk about everyday things. And when he says something obvious and it comes from a genius, hopefully somebody pays attention. But I don't think anyone is paying attention to you anywhere.
Well, the question, of course, is why. And I'll tell you why. Because I don't have, I'm not a hunchback. Excuse me for...
Whoa. Let's not... I don't want to use words like that.
Well, the gentleman just put... He just said it. Why aren't they paying attention to me? Because America is being led literally off a precipice by people on
because
crutches.
He's a genius, and you're some dumb person who laughs the smart people on the radio. Phil, you sound very intelligent. I enjoy you.
No, I wanted to know something. Why do you think he's a genius? What does he say?
What do you mean? Because I already said that. I flew through the short version that he's the first one that proved that black holes irradiate energy and can disappear, and it changes the whole fundamental basis of the universe. Because that changes everything. Galaxies go around them. That means when black holes disappear, things go flying off. And I'm not trying to nerd out here. What I'm saying is, you're acting like he didn't say anything. Like he just sits there in his wheelchair and talks about, ooh, the environment's in trouble. And people go, oh, what a smart guy. He talked about genius things.
Exactly.
And then
that's exactly
when he
what
adds
he, that's
that
exactly.
he talked about the environment, then you say, oh, that's all he does.
When he said what he said, when he said about the black holes, he wasn't in the wheelchair yet. Okay?
What are you talking? He played sports until he was in the wheelchair, and then he got into physics.
He was what?
Wait a minute. What did you say?
He played sports until he got into the wheelchair, and then he started working on physics.
No, but he came up with the black hole theory when he was running around with both legs. It was only when he got into the wheelchair that he started saying a lot of hokum that everybody thought was genius.
That's ridiculous. That's absurd. Okay, I'll let you go. Listen. He got more famous after he got in the wheelchair because he started dedicating all of his time to nothing but the physics. Because, well, what else was he going to do? I mean, he can't even play
beer pong. I'm an intelligent guy. You just said I'm an intelligent guy and you like listening to me.
Excuse me?
Didn't you just say that you thought I was an intelligent guy and you like listening
to
me?
Okay, well, that's a stretch, but let's work on it, okay.
Oh, you know what? This guy, he's starting to piss me off.
Well, let's watch the language, okay? I think what the gentleman is saying is that Stephen Hawking, there are some very profound and important and irrefutable things that he's said and that he has thought on, that he has published on, and you can't deny them, and you can't say that they are deniable simply because he's in a wheelchair. John, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Abraham in Miami. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Phil. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir.
Now, doctor, you see, I think you are right but extremely misguided. Because the way I see it, it's not an issue of genius. It's not an issue of his academic work because the vast majority of people don't understand that work. I think the fact that he has done something original is what's amazing. He's a celebrity who's a genius, a guy that nobody understands, who's in a wheelchair, who attracts all these women. And I think that's amazing, and I think that's what's bringing some of your bitterness.
Great. Well, I'm sure that would impress you. Thank you.
All right, thanks for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Maybe that guy was kidding.
No, he went, where'd you say he was calling from?
Miami.
No, he was right on. He's impressed by that. I will tell you, I have a Twitter, and one of the things that I have done, and it helps me relax, is I follow these hip-hop, or what you call, I don't know what they're called, rap groupies.
You follow what?
I follow hip-hop or rap groupies on Twitter, and one of them is a girl named Cat Stacks. And I mentioned to her Stephen Hawking, and I could not believe, and I still can't believe, that a 20-something young woman involved in the music business, a model, and as soon as I mentioned Stephen Hawking, and she's black. Well, that really...
Okay, so she's black, so what?
So she's black, so what are you...
In other words, she doesn't get it about physics?
Yeah, okay.
You know, you were knocking Stephen Hawking for his Polish jokes.
I'm not making a joke. I'm saying it's very far removed from the world. And yet, as soon as I mentioned Stephen Hawking, she asked me if I knew him. If I knew him, like she wanted to meet him.
Well, you know what? You have come off here, Ron, tonight talking about Dr. Stephen Hawking in a manner that people have picked up on it. You sound petty. You sound bitter.
Are you telling me that I haven't brought up a valid point that we give people far more credit when we see them in a wheelchair or being walking around with an IV drip, that we don't give them more credit?
That we give them more credit? I don't understand.
Oh, for God.
In the case of Stephen Hawking, there is this sort of image of the poor genius sort of locked in this world of thought and theory because his body doesn't work anymore. I think there's probably something very, sadly romantic about that. But what do you mean walking around with an IV drip?
Anybody on an aluminum crutch, anybody in a, and I'll say it again, when Hawking got that chair upgraded, that's all I want to say.
Well, when Hawking got the chair upgraded...
What I'm saying is, Stephen Hawking, that's one guy that called and said that Stephen Hawking came up with a theory of disappearing black holes. And that guy, by the way, that guy that called, he doesn't know. He's reading it out of that Wikipedia.
You mean Wikipedia?
Wikipedia. That to me, speaks volumes. You can say what you want about Stephen Hawking.
And plus the fact that you said that Stephen Hawking has a lot of girlfriends, okay? That young lady picked up on that.
That's what I wanted to talk to the young lady about. You notice she did pick up on it. And why is that? Because that's what she... I was talking to Stephen Hawking, and the first thing she starts thinking about is, I wonder if he's dating. That's what she...
That's what she was picking up on. She was mentioning the fact that you brought it up.
Well, but why did she call? Because that interested her. Stephen Hawking, I wonder if he's dating yet. Because I understand, if that other girl is not with her.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, with Ron Tarter, Stephen Hawking, and whether or not Stephen Hawking has all of this celebrity because he is, he's worthy of it. Or because he has a lot of celebrity because he's kind of cool and weird looking in a wheelchair and he's got a TV show and we feel sorry for and we give more credit to people who are in wheelchairs on crutches or, quote, walking around with an IV drip. 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. So, and he also brought up Helen Keller, that we wouldn't have near the admiration for a Helen Keller if we actually stopped and thought about what it was she was doing, writing books and giving lectures when she couldn't talk, see, or hear. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
That's right. Read it and weep.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Coming up, we have Art Griego, and Art is going to be talking to us about the flight attendant on JetBlue that got so upset he told somebody to F off, and he literally opened, I guess, one of the emergency exits and dropped that slide and grabbed himself a beer and slid down the slide. I mean, it sounds like the guy went crackers. We're going to talk with Art Griego about that next hour. Our number 877-876-PHIL. We have Dr. Ron Tarner with us from the Mountain Metal Observatory in Colorado. We're talking about Stephen Hawking addressing the Big Think Forum over the weekend, which was in Pennsylvania, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Did you know, Dr. Tarner?
No, I don't know. I don't follow Stephen Hawking, his every move.
No, I understand. I just thought perhaps it was on the radar.
No, I'm sure that there are some people in my field that follow him and like to be sycophants. I'm not one of them.
All right, well, we're talking here about Dr. Hawking, and you're saying that Dr. Hawking's celebrity is not anywhere near as merited as it should be, even though we had that one caller.
Well, that one gentleman who brought up the disappearing black holes, you know, the jury is out. If Hawking thought of that when he was playing baseball or football or whatever he was doing, if he thought about that, then that makes him no better than any other scientist that thinks up something while he's walking around and, you know, just walking to the post office. But when you are in a wheelchair and you're sipping your dinner, you're not eating it. You're not even drinking it. You're sipping it. And I say that to give you the picture. And now you have women, and I guess...
Well, when you bring up women, people are reacting and saying you're petty.
I'm not being petty, Phil. I have a rich social life. I don't understand how it is this guy's gotten published more than I have. There's a lot of stuff. And I can see the more I talk, the less your audience understands, because this is a field that they're not familiar with. Publishing in Science, and the fact that this man, Hawking, upgraded that wheelchair to a two-horse electric motor. That's two horsepower he's got on that wheelchair. That becomes a hazard. That becomes a danger to everyone around him. Does anyone care? No, they don't.
I didn't know that he had it upgraded to two horse. That's pretty fast.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, it is. Very fast.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a caller here, Maddie in San Antonio, listening on KRPT. Hello, Maddie. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Maddie, you there? All right, Maddie's gone. Go to another call. Here is Don listening in Houston on KPRC. Don, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Great show, as usual.
Here is Gino in Sarasota. Gino, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. Yeah, basically, hi. I'm not really sure what Dr. Tarner's problem is. Quite honestly,
I don't have a problem.
A bit petty.
I don't have a problem.
Being a bit petty about things. I mean, about the horsepower on his wheelchair. I mean, seriously. Yes, doctor, there will come a day when we do have to leave this planet.
And so what's really the genius comment about? That's not a genius statement, though. And everyone thinks that's such a genius statement.
Well, no, I don't think that it's a genius statement. But you shooting holes in it kind of seems stupid to me. I mean, it's... You know, if you have any idea whatsoever about how nonlinear, you know, the cosmos is, and how much the universe doesn't really care what we want or how long we want to have it for, we will eventually have to leave this planet.
I know that.
An asteroid.
I know that. But what makes that headline news? I think the average school child knows that.
Well,
and yet when Stephen Hawking uses that mechanical voice of his and he says it, suddenly he's got women wanting to push his wheelchair around.
Okay.
Why?
I will agree with you that Stephen Hawking does tend to be one of the least respected physicists, even though he does hold Sir Isaac Newton's old job at Cambridge. He does tend not to carry much weight among his own community. They kind of diss him in some ways. I would say that some of them, it's probably because his handicap does draw a lot
of attention. That's what I've been talking about, yeah.
Okay, I will agree with you on that.
Right, right. So, sir, for 2 minutes now, I'm waiting for you to say something like that I don't know.
Okay, you're an idiot. You're kind of a petty idiot. I'm sorry. You know,
that's
not
an argument.
What I'm picking
that's
up
not.
Here.
That's
and
not
I don't
an
think
argument.
You know that. I don't think you
that's
actually
not an
know
argument.
That.
That is not an argument, though, about Stephen Hawking. Okay.
Well.
And the people's lives that he puts at risk with a 2-horsepower motor.
You making fun of his mechanical voice. You poking fun of his mechanical voice.
Why do you think he's going out and getting a mechanical voice with a French accent? Did you know that, Phil? Did you know that, Phil?
I beg your pardon?
He went out and got a mechanical voice with a French accent. Jack, hold on for a minute.
He got a mechanical voice with a French accent.
Yes, to get women. Hold on. Turn on.
Hello, Stephen Hawking, and I would like you to, if you could zip me up.
Did you hear that, Phil? Phil, did you hear the Hawking voice?
Phil Hendry.
Hey, Phil.